Separating from a spouse or partner is without a question a very difficult and busy time. It can seem like there are lots of things to do. But what are separated spouses legally required to do when they first separate? Since the answer is different from what many people think, I will go over the legal duties people have immediately after separation in this episode of the Ontario Family Law Pod. I'm John Schumann, a certified specialist in family law in Ontario. I'm also a mediator, arbitrator, and collaborative lawyer. This podcast is a companion to my book, Guide to the Basics of Ontario Family Law, which is available on the iBookstore, Amazon, Kobo, and in fine bookstores. Everyone who separates from a spouse, common law partner, or co-parent has some duties imposed on them by Ontario law, particularly the new law that came into effect in 2021.
Oh.
Parents have more legal duties than other people after separation.
Ah.
The new legislation places three additional legal duties on parents. The first is they must always act in the best interest of the children, not themselves. The second is that they must protect the children from any conflict arising from the separation. The third relates to child support. The first thing to do what is in the best interest of the children is not some abstract idea. In episode 59, I went over the specific criteria set out in the legislation about what is in a child's best interest.
Oh.
It includes such considerations as meeting the child's needs, to the extent possible, promoting the child's relationship with the other parent and extended family, preserving the child's cultural, linguistic, religious, and spiritual background, and protecting the child from violence and conflict. There are many things that parents have to do to protect a child's best interest, which are more fully described in episode 59 and in my book.
Yeah.
But the key is that parents cannot put their own needs first, but must put their children's needs first after separation. Protecting a child from conflict is not just part of acting in a child's best interest. It is also a clearly articulated specific duty set out in Section 7.2 of the Divorce Act and Section 33.1 sub 2 of the Children's Law Reform Act. Parents have a specific legal duty to protect their children from any conflict related to the separation. There is lots of really good research that exposing children to adult conflict harms children, not just psychologically, but it actually causes physical harm inside their brains that can have long-lasting effects. So parents must make sure they keep the conflict to a minimum and that they keep any conflict that cannot be avoided far away from the children. The children should not even know about it. That leads us to the first duty that all separated spouses and partners have. They have a duty to avoid family court wherever possible. Conflict is really bad for kids, but the type of conflict that happens in family court is bad for everyone involved. It destroys people emotionally and financially. So now all the family law legislation that applies in Ontario requires separating spouses, common law partners, and unmarried parents to consider using alternatives to going to family court: negotiation, mediation, collaborative practice, or even family arbitration.
Oh.
The court document used to start proceedings in family court requires separated spouses or parents to sign an acknowledgement of their legal duty to try to resolve their issues using an out-of-court dispute resolution process where appropriate. In episode 60, I went over why going to family court can be a bad strategic decision for some people. There are many reasons why separated spouses may want to avoid court in addition to the cost and emotional toll of the conflict. For example, parents can often come up with much better arrangements for their children than a judge who has a limited knowledge of the family, what each family member desires, and their schedule. Judges may also be required to divide assets in a way that spouses would not prefer. While it is sometimes necessary to go to court where there are safety concerns, mental health issues, or a party who will not cooperate to get things settled or act reasonably, most people find that they are happier using one of the alternatives to court that give them more control over the outcome.
Yeah.
When they separate, spouses, partners, and parents now have a duty to look into negotiation, mediation, collaborative practice, and arbitration and see if they can resolve matters using one of those processes.
Oh.
Check out the previous episodes or my book that go over those options in detail. Looking into ways to avoid family court is the first duty that everyone has immediately after separation.
Oh.
The second duty that every separated spouse, partner, or parent has immediately after separation is financial disclosure. Only urgent unresolved parenting issues or safety concerns take priority. Nothing can happen to resolve financial issues regardless of what path the parties take until they have exchanged disclosure.
Oh.
The Ontario Court of Appeal put it this way. The most basic obligation in family law is the duty to disclose financial information. The requirement is immediate and ongoing. The parties cannot finalize anything without adequate financial disclosure. If one spouse does not cooperate with disclosure, then both spouses will end up in family court, where the first thing the court will do is make an automatic order requiring parties to exchange financial disclosure. The best place to start is with completing a financial statement. Form 13 is the financial statement where the financial issues are only related to support. Form 13.1 is the financial statement that parties use if they are property or other financial claims. When there are support and other claims, then parties must use Form 13.1. The financial statement form requires each party to provide 3 years of income information and set out all their assets and liabilities. Where there are property claims, each party must set out his or her assets and liabilities as of 3 dates. The date of marriage, the date of separation, the date of the financial statement. It is not enough to put down numbers on the financial statement. The other spouse or parent is entitled to see the backup documents to verify those numbers are correct, and their lawyer will invariably ask for those documents. So it is best practice when filling out the financial statement to copy or scan and save the document showing each value listed on the financial statement and then deliver those documents with the financial statement.
Oh.
Likely there will be additional disclosure that each party must provide. It will be sent out in the automatic court order, or a lawyer can advise what will be required. Providing disclosure up front avoids complications and expensive futile arguments down the road. The last immediate obligation that separated parents have is to pay child support. Whether children are sharing their time equally or close weekly between the parents, then to get the full tax advantages, each parent should pay the full table amount of child support to the other parent, preferably on the same day or at the same time. Where one or more of the children is living mostly with one parent, then that parent should pay the full table amount for those children. Base child support is easy to look up on the child support tables. Each parent should have some idea what their income is, or they can check their last tax return. Mm-hmm. Even the precise amount is not an income that is easy to figure out, a situation which I went over in episode 76. And in my book, parents must pay the table amount for what they believe their income is immediately. The courts have repeatedly held that child support is the right of the child, and parents have a duty to pay child support starting immediately after separation. When a parent doesn't do that, judges are very quick to conclude that the parent is not interested in the kids and is likely not a good parent, and even impose other consequences, which I covered in episode 77. Paying base child support is another duty that parents have immediately after they separate. Yep. The precise table amount in Section 7 expenses can be worked out later.
Oh.
So to summarize, the following are the duties of spouses, partners, and parents immediately after separation. 1. Separated parents have a duty to do what is in their child's best interest. 2. Separated parents have a duty to protect their children from any conflict arising from a separation. 3. All separated spouses, partners, and parents have a duty to consider the alternatives to going to family court, negotiation, mediation, collaborative practice, and arbitration. 4. All separated spouses, partners, and parents have a duty to get their financial disclosure together and provide it to their ex as soon as possible. 5. All separated parents have a duty to start paying base child support where they are in a position where they will owe child support. If you need some more general family law or children's law guidance, or you need to understand Ontario family law better to make better decisions, if you need to know the best parenting options after separation or divorce, or if you need to understand how finances work during marriage or a common law relationship and after separation and divorce, get a copy of my book, Guide to the Basics of Ontario Family Law. You can access it immediately on the iBookstore, on Amazon for the Kindle version, or you can download it for Kobo. Amazon can deliver the paperback version directly to your doorstep. You can also get a lot more Ontario family law information on www.schumannlaw.ca. Not only are there hundreds of pages of family law information and links, but there are links to get my book and links to reach my office to meet with either me or one of my colleagues. You can also set up an appointment to speak with us by calling 416-446-5847. It is always best to get a lawyer who can give you expert advice that's specific to your situation. In addition to my website, keep up to date on family and children's law issues by liking my Facebook page, following me on Twitter at @SchumannFamLaw, and finding me on LinkedIn. Of course, please subscribe to my YouTube channel and hit the notification bell to keep up to date. You can also get the audio version of the Ontario Family Law Podcast on all major podcast services, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many more. Or you can get all the episodes at www.schumannlaw.ca. Just look for podcasts in the drop-down menu. Thanks for participating in this podcast. We will get together again soon.